You know, I'm liking all the lights in here. I think it does good. All right. Well, amen. All right. Well, turn your Bibles to Job, please. Good to be here. Glad everyone came out, in spite of it being the worst holiday ever. No, not a holiday. Whatever. I don't know what you'd call something that's not good. You know, the time change deal. I don't know. It's funny. I was talking about in my message this morning about content, and someone came in an hour late, and everybody noticed it. So I said, you know, some of you aren't even content with your clocks. That was real fun. I probably shouldn't have done that, but it was fun. All right, Job 121. All right, and we'll get started. Job is just an absolutely depressing book. It is just so depressing. You know, I was reading it, and I'm just like, man, my goodness, man. But there's some good things in here, really good things. And verse 21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, Lord, for everything, God. Thank you, Lord, guide me and direct me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. That's man's state. You're born naked, and you're going to go there. You're going to go to the grave. You're going to be buried, and that'll be the end of it. One person talked about riches. He says, can't play all your fancy toys in the grave, and that's a big truth there. We live in a society that has a lot of propaganda pushed towards physical possessions, right? And I'd like to preach on that a little bit because it really gets ingrained into people's mind. And I think as a Christian, it's important to think about what you do and why you do it and making sure that you're doing the right thing. Because a lot of what people want you to do is not what God wants you to do. And they have their reasons for doing it. And as you find in this scripture, the Bible talks about the love of money. And what is it? It's the root of all evil. So that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And you wonder why some things are so complicated. You think, well, that's probably money, probably money. This is how ingrained people can be. This is myself. I'm thinking, all right, this has been like the past week. I'm thinking, all right, I need to exercise more. So I went to the gym a couple times, well, once this week. And then I said, you know, man, I hate it, but I'm going to have to do some cardio. I hate cardio. It's awful. I hate that. So who said amen? That's funny. Amen. I'm glad I'm not the only one. And so I thought, well, you know, I don't want to have to go to the gym just to do cardio. Maybe I'll buy a nice fancy machine to do cardio on. So, you know, I Googled it. And of course, you know, the first thing that pops up is, you know, expensive, you know, some $1,200 exercise bike. And I'm like, nah, that's way too expensive. And then, you know, they have like $300 versions. I'm like, that's much better. And then there's a part of my brain that's thinking, what? No. And then I thought, well, you know, I can just buy jump rope. You know, you can get that for like $30, you know. And so then I thought, well, wait one second. I don't need rope to jump. Right? Amen. Sure. So I decided, you know what I'm going to do? So I went into my office, you know, and I closed the door, put the blind down. I just went like this. As long as I could. And then when I was done, my calves were like this. Oh. And this morning I was walking, down the aisle, and one of the ladies was like, man, you don't look so good. Don't ask me about it. You think about that. Why did I immediately go to some product, right? So I don't need to buy some fancy machine to breathe hard, you know? Amen. Amen. You think about that. Why? Why? Well, that's just our culture, you know? And then you think about, that expensive bike that's designed to get you to breathe and sweat, you can even put down payments on it. I mean, nothing says you're rich like getting a loan to buy rich stuff, right? That's just a great way, you know. So that's just, what are those exercise bikes? They're just elaborate ways to hold clothes. You know, that's most people, you know, phew, just throw clothes on it, you know, walk off, you know. Probably not some folks, but you think about that. That's our state. Man's state when he's born, what is he, naked? And he's going to go into a grave and you're going to rot. And money is such a problem that they say, well, you know, you need to have these chemicals pumped in you if you're going to go in the ground. And if you have these chemicals in you, then they're going to leak into the earth. So then you have to have this kind of a coffin. Before you're done, man, it costs $10,000 just to die. Shouldn't be that expensive, man. You should just throw me in a box, cover me up, and slap me in the ground. Of course I'm going to smell, man. I'm dead and rotten, man. Amen, man. It doesn't have to be expensive for me to die. It's just, what is that? Just money. Just money. People just going after stuff. I mean, literally, you know, you go to some funeral home, you know, and they got some, you know, deluxe plush, you know, very comfortable casket. Why you need comfort? You dead. Well, you know, it just really honors the dead. I'm sure the worms will honor the dead too, you know. What is that? That's money. That's just money, you know. What is that? Just, you know, people trying to make things that they aren't. Go to 1 Samuel, please. That's man's state. So you need to think about that. Where are you going? Well, if the Lord doesn't come back soon, then you're going to go on the ground. You're going to die. Just like your father and your great-grandfather and your grandfather and everybody else, man, you're going to die. And you're not going to take a whole lot with you. And that's something to think about. It's a reality. I've been planning, me and my brother and my aunt, some of the family, we've been preparing for my mom to pass. And I've been thinking about that. You know, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. What are you going to take with you? You know, in Proverbs it talks about durable riches. That's what's important. Not junk that we buy here, you know, actual stuff. But in 1 Samuel, you think, what makes rich and poor people? Well, sometimes it's really not all your work. Although work and hard work and smart hard work really has a huge part in it, sometimes it's just the Lord. Some people have problems that they can't control. Look at verse 7. The Lord maketh poor. The Lord does that. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. So the Lord does that stuff. So one state isn't necessarily better than the other. You can learn in any state. Paul said with whatever state he's in, he's going to be okay. I totally messed up that memory verse, but anyways. The Lord says, he said that promotion cometh neither from the west nor from the east nor from the south. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from the Lord, right? That's where promotion comes from. It's going to come from the Lord. God's going to be the one that promotes you. Go to Proverbs 15:16, please. I think there is a ton of propaganda about debt. Why do you need to go into debt? You think about that. That's, I think our culture has been fed that line about you needing to go into debt, and it's about so many different things. You know, it's advertised. You know, you always have to have a car payment. Well, why? Why? Like some people, it's like a culture of, well, once you pay off your car, well, it must be too old. You've paid it off. Let's get a new one, right? It's a strange culture we have in, and not everything about our culture is good. There's a lot of bad things about it. It's a lot of consumerisms. Just get the next thing, get the next thing. Try to impress somebody. Get this, get that. Instead of saying, well, what can I afford and what should I afford? That's a good question, I think. Look at 15:16. Better is little, in Proverbs, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Amen, amen. So what's your job as a Christian? Well, to make little go as far as you can. And that's a great goal to have. You think about all the different things out there. That's one of the best goals you can have, is how can I make this go as far as it can? You know, the song goes, little as much when God's in it. And that's true, man. It's amazing what you can live off of when that's all you can live off of. It's amazing how you can stretch things beyond you thought was possible if you've got the right motivation for it. I've lived on a lot of different budgets, and some aren't very pleasant, but you can have a great relationship with God in any of them. You know, I've given the illustration before, and I'll give it again, but, you know, in Bible school, I didn't have a lot, and I'd sit there, and I didn't know how to cook either, man. It was a mess. And I sat there with a nice bologna sandwich, right, and a bowl of ramen. I knelt down and said, you know, God, thank you for this, Lord. Please bless my body, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And you think about that, you know, I eventually got more money and learned to cook more. But you think about that. I lost, you know, a ton of weight. Why? Because I wasn't eating the right things. And wasn't eating very much at all, but I was content, man. I really was. I found out what God wanted me to do. I had an option to go to the military, into the Marines, or go to Bible school. And I said, well, I think this is what God wants me to do. And I did it. And it's amazing that with so little, I was very happy. I mean, I was content. And I was having, you know, honestly, one of the best times of my life down there. I thought about that. I thought, man, that is something, you know. I think people look for happiness. They look for joy. They think, well, maybe this next thing will bring me joy. Maybe, you know, the next video game or the next TV or the next speaker system or the next truck or the next car or the next house or, I don't know, just throw anything in there, right? Things aren't going to make you happy, man. You can't just... Things won't give you love, right? You're not going to look at your fancy rugs and those rugs give you love. No, they just sit there and you walk on them. You can't speak to your spoons, you know, when you're lonely. I'm serious, man. People spend a lot of money in different things, anything really. And that stuff ain't going to help you when you get lonely or when you have family problems. You're not going to go into, you know, your fancy car and sit down and when you got family problems, think, well, you know, I'm so glad, you know, I got this fancy car, you know. I have awful family problems, but this car is wonderful, you know. I'm sure a guy is going through divorce, think, you know what, man, my life's a wreck, but man, I'm sure glad I got these fancy shoes. Yeah, I'm sure that's what they're thinking, you know. There was an old couple, and they had a child, and they lost a child. They were millionaires, and it was a long time ago, and so it meant a lot more how much they had. And, you know, they had this really fancy table, really fancy rug, just rich as all get out, and then this empty baby carriage thing. And this preacher was at their house, and it was a very quiet meal, and there was something lacking in the room. And, you know, you could feel like that empty void, that empty carriage thing had in it. And pastor eventually asked him about it. He said, well, you know, we had a little one, but she passed away. And, you know, I think about that. I think, you know, you can't look at your fancy stuff and, well, it doesn't speak to you. It doesn't love you. It doesn't return love. It doesn't try to help you out when you're sick. Most of what men want in life, you can't get from things. You know, your fancy car isn't going to make you be loved. Your wife won't love you more if you buy a fancier car, right? Your wife won't appreciate you more if you buy a fancy car, right? I mean, that's what men want, right? Men want a woman who appreciates them and really adores them, right? A fancy vehicle ain't going to do that for you, or a fancy house. Now, maybe if you're the sort of man who, through hard work and diligence, earns that in a respectable manner, then you might earn a lot of love and different things, but it's not the things that's going to get her. Right, and you think about that. What is it that men want? Well, things aren't going to give you it. You know, you're going to need a relationship, and first and foremost, you're going to need a relationship with the Lord, not with things. And a lot of our culture, man, it's just a lot of propagandists. Get in debt over this, or get in debt over that, man. And I think the biblical approach to look at it is how far can I stretch little? And God, give me wisdom to stretch it to the best of my abilities, because I don't have much time, I don't have much money, and I need it to work as best as I can. You say, why are you talking about money? Well, if you remember the Good Samaritan, he did a lot of good things, right? That's why he's called the Good Samaritan. And you know one thing he had? He had money, right?
And he used it for the Lord, right? So there, you can. No, I'm not saying you can't do things for the Lord without money, but you can do a lot of things for the Lord with it, and it's a blessing. It's a real blessing being able to help folks out. You think about some of the blessings some of you've been by giving money to different people, and how good that made you feel being able to help provide for somebody's need. That's a real blessing. Be able to look at a family and think, you know what, man, praise God. I'm glad God gave me the strength to be able to make money and then give it to them and help them. Amen. I'm glad I was able to help that guy or that girl. I'm glad I was able to help them. Praise the Lord. And then you know what you're building a relationship, right? Because you're able to help folks out. And I think that's why the original church, they had such a good relationship with each other, because they were being persecuted. And because some folks needed things, some folks who had more money, they said, well, I don't need this house, I'm going to sell it. I don't need this land, I'm going to sell it. And I'll take that money and I'll help my church out. That's what Barnabas did, right? He helped people out. And, you know, there's a reason Jesus Christ said it's better to give than to receive. Because it's amazing being able to see someone in need. You come by over and say, hey, man, let me help you out. And, you know, they're probably maybe a little prideful, so they never ask for help. Or maybe not prideful, but maybe they're just, you know, deeply ashamed of where they are. But you help them out, and it's exactly what God wants. Man, what a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that can happen if you save and spend your money wisely, right? Amen, man. That's what we need. We need a bunch of Christians who have the virtue within them to be able to say, you know what? I don't think I need this new thing. I don't think I need it. You know, a car loses something like, I don't know, it's like 50% of its value in something like 3 years. I think, I don't know if that's totally accurate, but it's pretty close. That's a lot of money lost. So what I'd try to do is, my future plan for my next vehicle is let someone else waste all that money. Amen, man. I don't want to waste it. Little as much when God is in it. That's true, man. That's true. Find out how you can have wisdom, and God give you wisdom to use that stuff. Go to Proverbs 22, please. Now, why should you try to stay out of debt? Well, it's very simple. I have a piece of plastic here. Let's see, where is it? That's not the right one. Here it is. You know what this one says on it? It's really interesting. Master. Amen. Amen. Amen, man. I'm going to amen that. Master. You know, there's a reason that card says master, right? Because you're a slave to it. You might not be, but millions upon millions are. Master. Master card. That's right. You know, slavery might have gotten away with the emancipation and whatnot, but I think there's more people slaves now than there were then. Think about it. People are a slave to their own desires. They say, well, I gotta need this. No, you don't. No, you don't. There's a lot of things you think you need. And then if someone says, hey, no, you don't need that. And then you deeply think about it, you can realize, yeah, I don't need it. You know, I've used the illustration many times. People go through McDonald's and they say, I need, and then say something they absolutely do not need, right? Right? I need 4 double cheeseburgers and a large Diet Coke, please. Do you, though? Do you, though? And it's funny because I gave that illustration this morning, and then I wasn't thinking, and I said something, and I said, I need... And I can't remember what I said. And then the girl at church, she corrected me. She said, do you though? Do you though? I'm like, oh, that's good. Well played, sister. Well played. But in Proverbs 22:7, this is what it says here. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Amen. Amen. You better be careful what you borrow, because you're going to be a servant to that borrower. To that lender, my apologies. And that's a big deal, right? You know, you think about, you think some people, you know, they take out a big loan for their business, right? And they think, well, if I get this loan for this business, I'm going to have the freedom to do what I want. Well, in a sense, yes, but in another sense, you're going to have an obligation to now do it, right? Because now you're held accountable to your lender. That's just how debt works. And it's very true. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So you're gonna serve some people if the more you take out. And I think that's what's dangerous about our culture, is it's too much about borrowing. It's too much about, let's try to keep up with these folks or keep up with these folks. I like what Dave Ramsey said. There's some things I don't agree with him on, but he said, if you live like no one else, then eventually you'll be able to live like nobody else, right? And what he means is, if you work really hard and you don't worry about status and whatnot, then eventually that hard work will pay off and you'll get to enjoy the fruits of that hard work. But you don't always want to be catching up with everyone. You don't want to try to go after what they're going after. There's a lot of people who are servants, right? And they're serving what? They're serving their different loans. They're serving their different things that they take out, their debts, things that they can't handle, what they think they need. And it causes them a lot of problems, a lot of aches and pains. Why? Well, they can't handle it. They don't have the money to handle it. And they go too far. What? They become a servant to that thing. Before long, you know, they realize, well, I have this debt, and I have this debt, and I have this debt. And people are held on such a small thread that if their hours get cut like it did in, you know, during all the corona stuff last year, that now they have to start liquidating things or refinancing, right? I think that there's a type of loan, it's called a home equity loan. And from what I understand, it's not a very good thing to do. And the guy who was talking about it, Mr. Ramsey, he's like, you just add one L onto that, H-E-L-L. You know, that describes it pretty well. But you think about all the different things that are put out to you. Debt is really propagandized, you know, that it's this American way of life. And that's very dangerous. As a Christian, you know, the truth will make you free. And the truth is, if you want some nice things, it's really good for you to work hard and save and then get them when you can afford them. And that's amen, man, amen, man. You don't always have to have the newest thing. You can have the third thing, amen. It'll be all right. You won't die. It'll be good for you. You know, it'll be real good for you. Go to Psalms 37, please. Now, it's good to not borrow a whole lot for the simple reason, if you can't pay what you borrow, then you're a wicked individual. You become wicked. 37:21. Bible says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. So that shows you how important it is to be wise with your spending, right? Because it says the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. So you're only able to give if you saved up and have something, right? And that's really important. You don't want to be those folks who take more than they can handle, and then you have to say, listen, I said I would pay this, but because I overstepped and because I have some sin in my heart that leads me to buy more than I can handle, I'm going to have to, you know, default on this. And that's a dangerous place to be at, real dangerous. Go to Luke chapter 12, please. You hear a lot of books and different talks about the secret to generating wealth or the 12 keys to generating a six-figure income, right? You hear all that all the time. You don't really hear a lot of, you need to work really, really hard and you need to save it wisely and you need to plan 20-something years down the road to eventually get the fruits of all your labors, right? You don't hear like, this is a plan to get rich in 20 years. That's really long. 20 years is a long time for someone like me. You know, that's like almost, you know, double my lifespan, right? I'm only 27. You think about that. Luke 12, 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's very true. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things which you possess. Paul said our life is hid in Christ. What did Christ say he was? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So your life is going to be in Jesus Christ. And Bible says you're complete in him. So you'll be complete in the Lord. Things will not complete you. I don't know, maybe the exception to that is, you know, different things that help your body, you know, like, you know, for amputees or something like that. But there's always an exception. Go to Proverbs 23, please. The abundance, right? The abundance. So your life doesn't consist in the abundance. So people think, well, if I have an abundant life, then I'll be happy. Maybe. There's a good chance it won't be, though. You might just have the same problems. You know, if you're a mean person and then you get a lot of money, you just, now you're a rich mean person. Right? If you're stuck up and poor, my goodness, what's going to happen if you get wealthy? Oh, man. You know, I deal with a lot of individuals that are not pleasant to deal with, right? And not all of them are poor. In fact, a lot of them are wealthy, or at least they appear to be wealthy, you know? They got all the signs of wealth, but not very much sign of virtue, you know? And that's something I think about. I think, well, you know, it's too bad that nice Lexus of yours didn't cause you to be nicer to me, you know? It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, I'm going off topic here. Proverbs 23:5. Wilt thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And that's the truth, man. That's absolutely true. I had a friend at work. They're expecting a baby. And then the baby came really, really early. It was something like between 1 and 2 months early. I don't know the exact date, but it was really early. And that child was in the NICU ward for over 40 days. Which is a long time. They had, I don't even want to see that bill. That must be insane. But thankfully, they had health insurance. But even with health insurance, they got a lot to pay. And I think about that. I think, you know, just one thing, you know, everyone, you know, about every couple has children, right? And it says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? That's true. It's not. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as the eagle toward heaven. Those things, they fleed, right? One missionary said, he is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's a lot of truth behind that. You better find what's valuable, what's really valuable, and go after that. Because that's the things that, you know, that have real value in it. Money is just, you know, paper. I hear a lot about, if the world were to fall apart, you know, then you should invest in gold, you know. But you think about that. If really the world were totally fall in utter chaos, what you find pop up is not people looking to trade with gold, right? Because you can't eat gold. Can't live off gold. What you find is a black market system where people barter. They say, well, I got food and you got sanitation, you got this or that, I'll trade you, right? You know, you can't eat gold, you know, when, you know, the power goes out, the tsunami comes in, but you can trade different valuable goods. And it's interesting how people really put forward certain things as this being the one thing that will help you in times of the end. Well, maybe not, you know. But the way 2020 went, man, they bought up so much toilet paper, man. This whole county, you could TP the whole county, man. It's crazy. Just gone, totally gone. I guess that toilet paper is going to be the new currency in the dark age, right? I'll trade 50 TPs for this, please. What's the exchange rate? 15 to 1. But moving forward here, Proverbs 27, please, 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Amen, man, amen. You don't know what the future is going to hold. You need wisdom. We need wisdom. So why? So try to make that little go as far as possible. It's because you don't know what's going to happen, amen? It's nice to be able to live in such a way that if something bad happens, then you have a nice buffer, right? It's not fun if a smallest bump in the road causes you to fly off the handles. That's not a fun way to live, man. I lived that way a little bit in Bible school, and it was the Lord who helped me get through it. You know, I one time I was praying, you know, I was like, Lord, man, I really need some money for cleaning the house. And it just so happened that someone came by and gave me money for that. And I was like, man, praise the Lord. And it wasn't money for that specifically. He just randomly came up to me and said, brother, you've been a real blessing to me. Here's something. I was like, man, praise the Lord. But you think about that. You don't know what the future will hold. People think, well, I got a stable job. Well, it's stable now. It might not be stable next year. You think 2020 is a perfect example of that. Just all kinds of stuff going all over the place. It's especially as times get closer to the end, you need to be using wisdom and not going beyond your means and trying to stretch little as far as possible so that you'll be able to withstand some things, so that your family will be in a better place if something bad happens, right? So I don't want to see any of your family struggle if things get hard, right? I don't want to see that, not at all. Too many people lost their jobs last year. It's not good. Go to 1 Timothy, please. Now you need to fight against greed. It is probably one of the most dangerous things out there in terms of sin. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 says here, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows," right? It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That's really true. Man, you study history, you know what you find? Whole nations have been mistreated and hurt and murdered because of money. Real sad, man, real sad. You think of Vietnam and how the French businessmen just totally tore that country to pieces, man. What a shame, what a shame. Lots of people died because of that. Why? People got fed up with it, and then they picked a man to start a revolution. And then a bunch of war broke out, man. What a mess, what a mess. That's what happens when you say, well, I want a quick profit, and I don't care about these people that I'm putting this money towards. I just want a fancy plantation that's going to make me as much money as quick as possible. And then you have revolutions in Vietnam, or you have some king in Belgium, and he says, well, you know, my marriage ain't too good. We're not doing so well. I got to find something to bridge this void. Give me something to think about. So I think I'll think about starting a colony. Everyone's colonies are all the rage. And so King Leopold finds that colony. He finds it in the Congo. And what happens? Well, long story short, what, about 11-something million people die because of one man's greed and how it trickled down and hurt an entire nation. Absolute mess, man. What is that? That's money. That's money hurting folks. You wonder why prices of things can be so high. Well, greed, not always, but greed is a good indicator. You think about the mafia, how they got started in Italy, from what I understand, was they made a monopoly on flour. I mean, you never think about flour that much, right? But that's how they made a lot of money, and that's how they got a lot of their power consolidated, was monopolizing money, monopolizing flour. So you think about that greed, man, that can destroy people, destroys nations. Just a couple men trying to find more profit. And that's what scares me about the stock market, is they're always looking to get bigger. And it's okay to not have a bigger company. Sometimes you find that the size that you're in is just right, right? And you don't have to always get bigger. It seems weird to me that companies are expected to just grow all the time and never stop growing. And when you have that idea of, well, we're always supposed to grow because our stock shares, you know, they want us to grow, well, then how are we going to grow when we meet a natural limit? Well, greed can kick in. They say, well, let's do this or let's do that, right? And you change an entire nation by just using greed. One example, I don't know if I'd call this greed, but it's scary how an entire nation can be manipulated. And I think I've given this example before. This bacon company said, we need to sell more bacon. We got the lion's share of the bacon, but we need a bigger market. So the guy came around, and he said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And he got a bunch of scientists together, and the scientists said, well, A big, healthy breakfast is going to help fuel our nation, you know. And the emphasis was on big. And so then he gets this big convention together. You know, the headlines say, you know, big breakfast is healthy for you. Something like that. And then what do the baking companies do? Well, they you know, of course, they have their advertisements. You know, no American big breakfast is complete without bacon, right? And that's how you change an entire nation to have a group of people who don't eat a whole lot for breakfast to eating an immense amount for breakfast. Why? Just one company tries to make more money by selling more, so he widens his market. I don't know if I'd call that greed, but you think about how scary it is when people have a desire for more money, and then they find a way to artificially increase the market for it. That scares me, because that shows me that there's people doing that about things that are more dangerous than just bacon. Right, there's more things out there that are worse than just bacon. You know, the cigarettes with women, man. I've given that example before. That's a scary thing. And what is that, man? Well, a lot of that is that's greed. That's greed, and it's dangerous, man. There's a reason the Bible says that. That's how dangerous greed is, man. It can trickle down into, you know, about every part of society. Man, it creates evil on grand scales. You think, why do nations suffer? I mean, really. The reason, one of the main reasons Africa is so far behind the rest of the world is because they felt the greed of Europe and America for a long time, man. That's why there are so many. You read any history about that, and it's really disheartening just how so many people were treated and just completely. Just the nation stripped of many different resources. It's a scary thing. That's what money can do. Now, as a Christian, we try to use our money as best as we can, right? And basically, there's basically three uses for money. When you boil it down to, one is fun, one is investments, and then third would be giving. And, you know, what did Jesus Christ say? It's better to give than to receive. And I believe that. And I'm trying to work on that more myself. But as Christians, we can look at the world around us and we can think, all right, the culture is this, buy, 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 and if you don't have enough money, don't worry, we got lots of credit cards, we got lots of ways to get loans and debt, and just completely soak you over the head in debt. As a Christian, we can look at that and we can think, all right, God can give me wisdom to find out what I need and what I truly need, and God can also give me the strength to work hard and to get to a good place. And then, if I work hard and get to that good place, I do it with some wisdom, I can have some extra money left over. Why? Because I'm trying to make little go as far as possible. And if I got some extra room to spend with, maybe I'll be able to use it for some good. So then a missionary comes by and you're able to help them out. Or a family is in need and they're able to get taken care of. Or maybe something unexpected happens and you're able to take care of your family. It's incredible what happens if people begin to see sin for what it is and then see the effects culture has in trying to generate that sin. As Christians, we have to be really diligent not to allow greed to creep into our hearts, because we're part of the American society. You know, let's have the biggest this or the shiniest this. But the reality is that things aren't going to make you happy. They're not going to make your life that much better. There's a certain point, and it's Jesus Christ who's going to fill your heart, folks. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you do, God, Lord. You said godliness with contentment is great gain, Lord. Help us, God, to have the right aims, Lord. God, help us to be content with where you would have us, God. Thank you for everything that you do, Lord. Thank you, and please bless the day, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.